Now, Kent is coming forward. For those who don't know, Kent and Robin are following the call of the Lord to go to the east to be missionaries in one of the countries in the east. And they have been a long process of trusting the Lord, of uncoupling to their lives here and coupling to God's purposes in another country. But it has not been easy. It's been a stop-start affair, from needing to raise funds to do so, to actually getting permissions, and then ultimately to get the move happening, and notwithstanding with COVID as well. And with the latest news as well of what's happening with the latest variant, there could be more disruption. And so it's amazing that they could be with us today, because they've ministered here often. Their base is in the Baptist Church here in Hilton, but they've come here and ministered here often and really fed our church, and we want to continue to support them. But what I thought we could do, just as he's about to preach, would be really pray for them. And so won't you join me as we pray for them, and their next steps in particular, and then ultimately for this sermon, but really about their departure, which is meant to be on the 31st of this month. Am I right, Kent? Is there anything you want to add to that at all, and to give us more information on that we can pray into? Anything else we can pray into for you?
I'll fill you in a little bit during the message.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Okay, that's awesome. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the dire thing. We thank you for all that they are. We thank you for the way that they want to serve you selflessly. They want to put you first, and they want to make kingdom building a priority. Thank you that you've called them to another country where they're going to make a huge impact as you go ahead of them. We ask for your favor. You've been in this process, Lord. You've helped them get through all the obstacles, all the hurdles. You've been in it. You've made a way where there seemed to be no way. And now, too, they're asking for your favor, and they're asking for your blessing. We pray over their departure date of the 31st of December. Lord, if it be your will, make it happen, we pray in Jesus' name. And we pray now for the sermon. We thank you for Ken's preparation. Won't you speak through him now? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Tony, and to all the leaders. We really do feel like this is our home away from home, if you're allowed such a thing with the church. So it's wonderful for us just to be with you and to have a chance to share with you something of the journey of what we've been on, but really just the privilege to unpack God's Word, which is always just such an amazing thing to be able to do. So thank you for having us here this morning and allowing us to be part of the family here. We really do feel like that is true for us. Just to get it in some ways out of the way a little bit, but thank you for that update, Tony, as well. And just thought we would just share with you a little bit in terms of where we are in our process of actually going. So, yeah, Tony nailed the date. We've been looking to go on about December the 31st to head across to Southeast Asia to begin our ministry there as a missionary family there. And those of you who've been getting the newsletters and that and updates will know that that's kind of been a long process now, over about 3 years almost. We've been on this path that the Lord has called us to. And finally have got our financial clearance. We've got our medical clearance, which sounds simple, but we have felt like porcupines in reverse. I don't know, you know, like just getting poked with every sort of vaccine we can find. So if there's any anti-vaxxers, come and talk to us. We feel like we've had vaccines from COVID to all sorts of other things, but we've got our medical clearances. We actually are training now online with our mission organization, OMF. So that's sort of a good couple of hours of Zoom every day. Those of you who are on Zoom a lot know that can be quite tiring too, but it's been a wonderful time just to grow and to learn, and then are in the process now of packing and moving our home. So yeah, it's been very, very busy for the Dyers, but it's been incredibly exciting to know that God's plans are just around the corner for us now. And thank you for your prayers as well about this new, what's it, the Omicron variant or something like that. We're trying to keep tabs on that in terms of what that might mean for travel plans. So we are leaving it all in the Lord's hands. It's always been in his plans, and that's where it'll stay, but we would really appreciate your prayers for that things could go smoothly. And we know for many of you, maybe with family in the UK and others, it's just another very disrupted Christmas, isn't it? So we're in the same boat in many ways. But again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support as a church. And your encouragement, your words of prophecy that you've prayed over us. We really, really appreciate it and just want you to know that from the bottom of our hearts. So this morning too, in terms of bringing the Word of God, I was just chatting with Neil and saying, are you guys going through a series or anything? And he said, you know what? Just share from the heart. Share something that's going on in your lives. And when he said that, I thought, sure, you know, there is so much going on right now for us as a family. Where do we begin and what do we say? And I was chatting with Robs a little bit and, you know, what could we share? There's just so much of this journey. And the one thing that I really felt the Lord just wanted me to settle upon and to share with you this morning is this very important but often neglected topic of humility. Of humility. And it might sound like quite a strange thing. And in terms of missions and missionaries, I've always kind of looked at missionaries and thought, there's going to be this incredible supernatural story of the power of God and a healing and a resurrection of someone. And it's always seemed to me to be framed around this kind of power encounter that missionaries often have. And we really pray that the Lord would use us in powerful ways and that he would use you in powerful ways. But something that we so often forget as Christians is the power of humility. This incredible gift of humility that Christ has actually modeled for us and given to us. And really, if we are going to follow Jesus more and more through this season of preparation for mission, we have understood that to follow Jesus is to embrace his way of humility. And it's a very hard thing to talk about humility as well. Hey, you sort of have that phrase, I'm the most humble man I know. You know. And so I hope nothing of that comes across today. But the example of Christ would stay with you strongly in your heart that to follow Jesus, it must be an embracing of a life of humility, just like our humble King. So come with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. And I'm so glad this tied in with many of the songs we've actually been singing this morning about Jesus and who he is. And you'll see some of the context behind that from the scripture this morning. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Let's read God's word together from verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And now these beautiful verses. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Your translation might say to be grasped. This gives you that sense of grabbing onto something. Rather, Christ made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even to death upon a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It's a powerful passage. And perhaps before we jump into the text itself, just wanted to give you a little bit of background to this letter to the Philippians. And this short little letter has 16 references to the word joy or rejoicing. It is the letter of joy in the New Testament. And what is amazing is people will often look at that and say, well, sure, you know, Paul was an apostle. He was like filled with the Spirit in this amazing way. He had all these amazing experiences, and it's one thing for him to talk about joy, but what about us? What about in our lives and the difficulties and the struggles that we go through? But one of the amazing things about this letter to the Philippians is that we know Paul wrote it from a prison cell. Paul was in chains. He actually says at one point, I am in chains, but thank God the gospel is not in chains. And so here Paul sits with an uncertain future under great suffering and hardship in a cold prison cell somewhere. And he pens this letter filled with joy. And when we begin to read about the Apostle Paul's life, we see that his life was anything but easy. If we think we have problems, we should just go and read the life of Paul. He was stoned, he was beaten, he was thrown to lions, he was shipwrecked more than once. He faced opposition in almost every town he went to, and he says, I have the anguish of all the churches on my heart that God had helped him to plant. This was a man under stress, under pressure, busy, and under great persecution. And yet he writes this letter, and the theme that comes through so often is joy. So if you need a bit of joy in this season of COVID, and maybe a tough Christmas coming, we don't know. This is a wonderful letter to camp out in and to find Paul talk about joy in the midst of hardship. But I want you to see from this passage, and we will dig into this a little bit more, that it is actually humility that allows us to live a life truly of joy. And one of the great differences we see is that the world will talk a lot to us about happiness. What is it that makes you happy? And I think all you need to do actually is go home, turn the TV on, and watch a few adverts to see what the world thinks will make us happy. And I like to summarize it often as comfort, ease, and pleasure. These are the things that will make us happy. Are you comfortable? Well, if you're not comfortable, you're going to be unhappy. Make your life more comfortable. Make it more easy. Make it more filled with pleasure. This is the way we live a happy life. And I think one of the things that COVID is showing us, we kind of wish we hadn't had to go through all of this, but one of the things that's showing us is that suffering comes to all of us. Hardship comes to all of us. You can try and wall yourself in comfort and ease and pleasure, but you cannot escape the hardships of life. And I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm sure every one of you has a story to share of a hardship you've either been through or are going through or perhaps will go through. And so the Christian message is one that there is joy in the midst of real hardship. This is not just pie in the sky, hope for heaven one day. It is joy for this life and the struggles that we face. And Paul shows us the way into that joy. It is through humility. So, back to the texture. How is it that Paul can have this attitude of joy in such great hardship and trial? Well, have a look at verse 1, because Paul wants to remind the Philippians, and I believe he wants to remind us this morning. The Lord wants to remind us. What do you have as a Christian, regardless of the circumstances you are in? He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ this morning, you belong to Him. You are united with Him. No matter what your struggle or pain or difficulty is, this is true of you. You are united with Christ. What an incredible gift to belong to the God of all the universe and to be seen as belonging to Jesus. Paul says, if you have any comfort from His love, I hope you had great comfort singing some of those songs of worship this morning, seeing your brothers and sisters in the faith. There is this love that comes into your life through the Lord. And Paul says, this is true for a Christian. We have comfort from His love. And finally, he says, we have a common sharing in the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, constantly by our side, praying for us, interceding for us, strengthening us. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. Paul says, all these things are given to us. This is what we have in the gospel. We don't earn belonging to Christ. We don't earn the Spirit of God in our life. We don't earn the love of God over us. These are all gifts given to us. Precious, precious gifts. But then notice Paul does challenge us. In verse 2 he says, then make my joy complete. Maybe another translation we could say, then put the cherry on the top. Make my joy complete, Philippian church. And God's word speaks to us this morning. Make your joy complete. All those things are given to you by God, but this is what is required of us. What are we to do to make joy complete? Be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And so this life of joy that we are called to live, I think we can see clearly from this passage, we have to have humility. If we are really going to be a Christian community with unity and marked by joy, you must have humility. It's logical. Think about it. How are we going to live at peace and in a unity with one another, with joy and a common purpose, if we are proud? If it's actually about me at the end of the day? One of the things that kills Christian community, that kills joy, is pride. It's about me. What can I get out of it? I don't think about you, I think about me. And the opposite is so true, Paul is saying to us here, calling to the church to say, when we are humble, when we can put the needs of others before our own, watch and see that joy begins to grow, that love is present, because we can put our needs second for the sake of others. And this is one of the things Robin and I have really had to wrestle with in terms of our mission journey as well, to go from a culture. We feel very much at home in this hall right now, where you can speak easily, your gifts can be recognized, you can be appreciated, you can be loved, and to leave that behind, to say, Lord, we want to give that up for the sake of going somewhere where the opposite will be true, at least for a few years. We will not be able to talk properly. We will be laughed at. We look funny. We don't say things right. Your gift of whatever gifts we might have will not be recognized, probably for many years. And that's been such a hard thing for me to kind of hand over to the Lord, to say, but I want to be useful and I want to be used. And I actually want it to be about me. And the path of humility is this laying down of our needs and our desires to say, Lord, how might you use me for the sake of others? And yet Paul says, that is the path of joy. That is the path of joy. And I'll return to that a little bit towards the end of the sermon. And so I've come to realize, you know, when I was younger, I just thought humility was a nice thing to have extra. It's like being kind or gentle, the fruits of the Spirit, and let's just add a bit of humility in there. But it's you know, it's one of those like nice to have Christian things. But you can probably get by without it. I look back and I cringe. And I've come to realize, just in this mission journey and through this passage, that this is not an extra option for Christians. This is the way of Jesus, the way of humility. And so let me show you a little bit about how that works too, and how Paul unpacks that for us. In verse 5, he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So as Christians, we're called not only to worship Jesus, we are also called to follow his example. And that sounds really obvious, eh? I mean, we learn that from like children's church all the way up. But when you actually have to apply that, that's incredibly challenging. To not only say, Jesus, you're my Savior, but you're also my example. What you did, I want to do as well. And let's just take a moment to look at what Jesus did. And this is what Paul calls us to do. From verse 6 to verse 8. Let's read this with me again and follow. So talking about Christ here, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So what do most people in the world do with power? What are we tempted to do with power? To use it to our own advantage. To say, I've arrived now. I've got there. I've climbed the corporate ladder. I've earned my stripes. I have status in this community. What shall I do with it? I'll now use it to my own advantage. But the scripture here says this is completely the opposite of what Jesus Christ did. It's not that Jesus has no power or authority or majesty. It's that he chose to lay it down. He was in everything equal with God in the beginning. And we might think back to John 1 verse 1. In the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. I wonder if you could even just take a moment now to imagine what it must be like to have been Jesus before he came to this world. I wonder if Jesus was praised by the angels. You bet he was. I wonder if Jesus was there to speak the word that made the whole universe. For sure he was there. Think of all that glory and praise and honor. Some songs call him the darling of heaven, you know, the Prince of Peace. He was all these things. What a wonderful, wonderful place to be for Jesus Christ. At the right hand of the Father, with all the glory and the wonders of the universe, praising him and coming back to him. It's an amazing picture of who Jesus is. And the scripture tells us he didn't hold on to that. He didn't grasp that. He didn't use that for his advantage to say, Father, you know, how can we set this universe up that it's all about me? He actually gives up his advantage. Verse 7, rather, he made himself nothing. And the Greek there actually has a word of emptying himself. It's as if he took the glory of heaven and he said, I will empty myself of what is rightfully mine. Why? So that I can come to the earth. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. And then, taking the very nature of a servant. So he leaves the side of God. He comes to the earth. He doesn't just come to the earth as a king or a ruler. That would be beneath Jesus, to be born in a palace. No, he comes into the world not like that. Born into a stable. Yeah, born into a stable. What an unlikely place for a king to be born. He makes himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And if we think that is bad enough, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and I almost want to say this, still further, that's the impression, by becoming obedient to death, that Jesus was prepared to die for us. And we go, my goodness, how can the King of Heaven come down and down and be prepared to die? Not just any death. Maybe not an old age somewhere lying on a bed, which would be unworthy of Jesus. But to death on a cross. A horrible instrument of torture. This is what Jesus was prepared to do for us. I look at a passage like this and I kind of think about it. It's the great descent. Jesus just coming down and down and down and down and down. So you think he cannot go any further down. This great King of Heaven has come all the way, taking off his privilege, taking off his advantage, taking off all the joys of heaven, and entering our world and walking among us, being obedient, and then going to death on a cross. It is the great descent. And surely, the Christian life, there is a part of it that is exactly this journey. And if I could be so bold as to say, I think this is the thing we resist as Christians. We say, I want to follow Christ, but I don't want to follow this pattern. I would rather go up and up and up and up and up if you would so bless me, Lord, please. And we look at the pattern of Christ, and it is this pattern of descending, of saying, what can I give? How can I help? Where can I serve? That's not the end of the story, though, is it? Have a look at verse 9. And I love this turn. Therefore, hey, what we say in a pretty cheesy way, when you see a therefore in Scripture, you ask, what is it there for? Why is it there? And here we see this is the turning around of this process, of this descending of Jesus. It says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. We were singing this morning, weren't we? You are the name above every name. We confess that you are Lord of all. The name that is above every name, that at, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you can picture this passage like a V almost. It goes, Jesus going down, 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 down. And at the bottom, at the cross, God says, I will exalt you. I will lift you up. And the link is so important in verse 9. Therefore God exalted him. And maybe this is sometimes how we view it. I used to view humility this way. In spite of that person's failures and weaknesses and humilities, God will work. But this passage actually tells us, it is because of humility that God will work. It is because Jesus showed the true character of his heart that God could lift him up and give him the name above every name. Humility is the test of our character. Are we actually able to be exalted by God? Are we able to be used by God? Because we will give glory to him and not take it for ourselves. Again, humility is not just an optional extra for the Christian. It is at the heart of the Christian life. And because Jesus was willing to be humbled, God said, that's what I'm looking for. Now I can lift your name up above every name. You are worthy to be praised and to be Lord of all because you were the humble servant of all. Can you see the nature of God in that? What does God lift up? He lifts up the humble because it's not about them. It is about others. So, I wanted just to head for a close with a couple of points in terms of trying to get our heads around what does this actually mean for us. If this is the path of Christ, then I hope on one level that leads you to give even more praise to Jesus. This wasn't easy for Christ. He had to humble himself, and this is why his name is worth being worshipped and praised. And perhaps in our world today, you know, when we think about power, hey, it's always something negative. Power is something to be avoided. All power corrupts. What we see here in Scripture is that's not true. Humble power does not get corrupted. Those who are humble can be trusted with great things. So, back to my closing points here. First of all, I think we must recognize that humility is countercultural. I often have a look at this and, you know, people are, we like to praise humility, but to a point. And I think the question really becomes, look at our role models in society. Look at our heroes. What sort of people are these? Generally, they are not the humble. Generally, they are the super talented, the wealthy, the ultra successful, the people who make a way for themselves in the world. And subtly we say, that is the model that we should follow. That is what we should kind of teach our children. But think again about the path of Christ. Think about his life and his ministry. Almost everything he did was not to win the limelight. It was not to be put on this pedestal. It was actually to serve the Lord obediently and faithfully in a funny little place, Jerusalem, far from Rome in the center of the world. So we have to acknowledge that humility is countercultural. And I think Christians should bump up against this. We should have friction here where someone will say, hey man, why don't you publicize what you've done? Why don't you shout it from the rooftops? Why don't you get some mileage out of that? Build your personal brand. It's the terms I've been hearing lately. And for the Christian, we should feel a friction with that. And no, it's not about my personal brand. It's about honoring the Lord and humbly serving him and waiting for him to raise me up. Completely different to the world, actually. Raise yourself up. Get it. It's yours. Grab it. Not so for Christ. So if humility is countercultural, I also want to say, secondly, that humility actually opens our eyes to joy. And we begin to discover that joy doesn't come from getting what we want. Joy comes from seeing others thrive and seeing others in relationship, having loving connections with the people around us. And Paul mentions this. He says in the scriptures, what will be his joy one day in heaven? And he actually says, brothers and sisters, will it not be you? That he has understood the heart of joy is relationship to God and relationship with others. Not to say we can never be excited about other things in life or even petty things like when our sports teams win, you know, we get excited about that. But you've noticed it's so temporary. So joy comes in actually serving others and seeing them grow into who God has called them to be. And I think anybody who's been in Christian ministry, you could say an amen to that. That there is a deep, deep joy in seeing the lives of others thrive, seeing the church community around us grow and thrive. So joy resides in the love and the thriving of others. And I think the sooner we can get to that point, yeah, the quicker we can get working on that stuff. And finally, I just wanted to challenge, to ask, where am I expecting to be exalted? Okay, whose voice is important in exalting me? Am I waiting for the voice of my boss, perhaps, to say, hey, fantastic job, here's your promotion, and thinking, that's what I've been working for? Are we waiting for thousands of likes on Facebook? Are we waiting for our community to kind of say, hey, you've arrived, you've gotcha? Whose voice are we listening to for our exaltation? And for Jesus, we can see so clearly, he was waiting for one voice. He was waiting for the voice of the Father. And this speaks quite deeply into our identity. Now, whose voice are we waiting for in this regard? And I often think about this as Jesus said, hey, he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There is an amazing reward coming for the humble, where God on that day will say, well done, my humble and faithful servant. Go into, in the sense, the new creation I have prepared for you. So this is a hard thing to say. My exaltation may not come right now, tomorrow. It may not even come in 5 years. It may not even come in my lifetime. But it will come when I stand before the Father and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the reward I have prepared for you. And that reward and that joy will be 100 times more than anything this world could ever offer. And so it is. It's deeply challenging, this road that Jesus has for us. But it is a road marked by joy. And that expectation of the Father's voice in the future. The living for His pleasure. And Lord, You lift me up in Your good time. And maybe I'll never even be lifted up in this life. Jesus wasn't. But I trust, Lord, that there will come that day when You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. So, I want to just close by praying for us, if that's all right, and committing us to the Lord in this path of humility, as challenging as it is. Father, this morning we thank You for Your scripture. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for this great descent that You were pleased to do on our behalf. Lord, we cannot even imagine what that must have been like for the King of Heaven, the Lord of Glory, to almost take off some of that glory. Maybe we picture You with a majestic robe and a crown and just this golden glory and just giving that up, pulling that off Yourself one by one to come into the world as a human being that we celebrate at Christmas. Lord, we have no idea what it was like to empty Yourself. But Lord, thank You that You were prepared to do that. And not just to live among us, but to be a servant. And not just be a servant, but be a servant who knew that He was going to death on a cross. Lord, we cannot thank You enough for this great descent going down, down, down for us. Lord, we thank You for the turn in the scripture that says it's therefore, it's for that very reason You were prepared to do that, Jesus. That the Father raised You up and lifted Your name above every name. And Lord, we do want to say that Your name is above every name. That Your way of life is better than any way of life. Lord, it may seem difficult and hard at times, but we know that this is the way to live. So help us, Lord, as a community, to walk in humility. Help us, Lord, to think about if Jesus was prepared to lay aside all that glory, am I prepared to lay aside some of my privileges? Am I prepared to lay aside some of my comfort to serve You? And Lord, we pray, as we begin to serve, as we begin to humble ourselves, that we would know the great joy of seeing others thrive, seeing Your church grow, seeing Your kingdom grow, and seeing the name of Jesus being lifted high. And we would be able to say, that is my joy. That is my crown. And so, Lord, we thank You for this path that is not always easy, but help us in the power of Your Spirit to walk this road of humility. And I pray here at Crossways Church too, Lord, that humility would just have wonderful benefits in their community of love for one another and close, deep connections that Robin and I have always felt at this church. Please help them to grow more and more in this and help us too as we prepare to grow as a family. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.